and welcome to the £1 Movie Podcast. This is episode 29 and I am your host, Wayne. If you're not sure what this is, if you were stumbled across this podcast, if you've been here before, welcome along, welcome new listeners, welcome old listeners, all are welcome here. Rest easy, traveller, you will find only... That's not true. Just welcome. On episode 29, let's go back. If you're not sure what this is, I've been out into the world, charity shops, CEX, cash converters, anywhere. Anywhere at all, people may even give me one. That's a DVD, by the way, people. A DVD movie for a pound or less. That's what this entire show is about. Finding a DVD movie for a pound or less. As in episode 29, as I've already stated, we will be talking about the fantasy drama, Guardians of the Crown.
What's that thing in the garden?
Your granddad made it just before he died.
Well, what does it do?
Nothing really. He built it on top of an old drain, so it was nice to have that covered up at least.
Welcome, Matthew. Do not be afraid.
Are you a man?
I am a shadow man.
I am the keeper of a great treasure. The ancient Shadow Crown.
What have I here?
When the crown is lost amongst the wicked, the destructive forces of the world will hold sway.
So, Guardians of the Crown from 2013. It has an IMDb rating of 5 out of 10. That's pretty much it for ratings. It is directed by a guy called Colin Downey. It stars Lorcan Melia, who plays Matthew, and Natalia, butchering here people of the Polish language, Kastrzewa, I think it is, Kastrzewa. And it has a budget of €100,000. It is a 12 certificate and runs at 85 minutes. I'm going to give you the plot now. So the plot, this is straight from the back of the DVD, by the way. I haven't just made this up. This is straight from what they want you to know about the film. So Guardians of the Crown is a fantasy adventure about Matthew, who discovers the entrance to a magical kingdom. There he meets an evil white witch and a treasure hunter who are searching for an ancient crown. As the White Witch's life force starts to fade, her desire for the crown intensifies, and she sets her sights on Matthew, who must do all he can to protect himself and find his way back to his own world before he falls under the evil spell forever. Well, there you go. Summed up very, very quickly, to be fair. Background on the film. It's based on a story called The Shadows by a Scottish author and poet called George MacDonald. And this tale is in the public domain, so it must be very old. This film is mainly shot in County Meath in Ireland, and its alternative title, which is the title of the book as well, is called The Shadows. Director Colin Downey now, he's a writer, director, cinematographer. He has 12 director credits to his name, including a film called Daria from 2016, The Looking Glass from 2011, and Paranoia from 2005. He is an independent director from Ireland and has won more awards than I care to list, but a few are Best Director for Daria at the Euro Film Festival in 2016, and he won first place at the Los Angeles Screenplay Competition in 2015. We get to Lorcan Melia now, who plays Matthew. He's an Irish actor born in 2001. He has 5 actor credits to his name, including the TV series Camelot from 2011, Looking Glass with Colin Downey from 2011 as well. And it doesn't look like he's acted since this film, to be honest. We get Natalia Kastrzewa, who plays Geldren White. She has 40 actor credits to her name, including Line of Duty from the BBC, The Cured from 2017, Get Up and Go from 2014, and the TV show Save Me as well. She is from Poland and was born in 1985. She attended the Gaiety School of Acting in Dublin, but didn't graduate. That's pretty much it I could find. It's very limited on this. It's a very small film, to be honest. Critical response now. Very simply, couldn't find any. No critics have bothered to give you any response on this. There are 3 Letterboxd reviews, and I'm going to give you, there are 3, and they range from 0.5 star to 2 stars. And the 0.5 star says, it is from a guy called Servi Galactus, and he says, absolute dud of a kid's fantasy film that starts off as really naff Lord of the Rings and then gets worse. Not even so bad it's good. Just an all-round wet fart of a film. Now say what you really feel, Emmanuel. I mean, that's it. We're moving on very quickly here. My expectation, after everything I've had a look at, the trailer and all the rest of it, I honestly think it's going to be awful. I feel like there's going to be lots and lots of padding and interesting camera work. I'm sure there'll be a germ of a good idea in it. I mean, it's based on some other intellectual property, so I'm sure there'll be a germ of a good idea, but it'll get lost. You know, they're off doing their thing. I'm hoping it's going to have some sort of feel as an episode I did years ago. Episode 2, when I did Journey to Dinosaur Island, that had at least some heart to it. I mean, and this is 85 minutes. I really hope it doesn't drag. But we shall see. And if you're new to the podcast, you won't know what's going to happen there. But I haven't watched the film at this point. I haven't seen this film before, and I haven't watched it at this point. So we're going to stop now, have an intermission, while I go and watch the film. So here's the intermission. We're back from the intermission. Quick one, everybody. Spoilers from here on in, I will talk about the whole film. So if you do want to watch Guardians of the Crown, then stop the podcast now. Go watch it, come back and agree or disagree with me. It's that simple. So initial reaction. Spoilers, people. Fuck me, it's boring. It's tedious. It's frustrating. It's badly acted. It's so boring that I found myself asking myself why the fuck I even did this podcast, to be honest. The trailers to this film were better than the film. They featured a TV movie about J.K. Rowling and her rise to fame and the origin of Harry Potter. And it's called Magic Behind the Words, the J.K. Rowling story. That at least gave me a laugh. And it was like, if I see that, I'm definitely getting that. But we'll move on very quickly. We'll start with a plot. So, I mean, we start with a very Lord of the Rings tracking shot over fields and to some snow-covered mountains. And then we get this massive exposition dump about a black-hearted witch who is frozen in the mountains of the sky. And she was trapped by the shadow people from under the earth. Observation here straight away. It's all very quiet. It's all so very, very quiet. And it's very cleanly shot. It's, you know, some very primitive CGI in there. Everything feels like it's not finished. You know, the CGI doesn't feel like it's rendered. It feels like it's been shot on, like, a decent camera. But I'm not sure, because it's too clean. And I think they're going for mysterious and world-building, but already it's fucking boring. A shadow man turns up at the evil witch's resting tomb and wakes her up using a light from a broken piece of a magic mirror. This is from a previous, you know, something or other. And we get this great ancient door. Now, bear in mind, this is in the mountains, and it's meant to be like the gates of Moria. And here's the sound effect, everybody, they use for this ancient door. Not even joking, that's straight from the fucking film. The queen wakes up, this white witch, and she kills the shadow man, and it turns out he's a prince, and she's been manipulating him in his dreams like Freddy Krueger. And then there's more exposition about a crown that she needs to rule the Shadow Council, but the Shadow Council have hidden it. The bastards, how could they? And we get more crappy CGI landscapes. They're meant to be world-building, but they just look cheap and silly. There's no need for it. And now enter the child hero of our story, Matty. Yay! He's being driven to his nan's by his mom in a Renault Clio. The fucking chariot of champions. I'm not slagging off Renault Clios. They're perfectly fine. They're perfectly fine cars. But I wouldn't expect a leader of men being in one. Anyway, on arrival at said farm, there's more awkwardness with this terrible acting, and he meets up with his nan, and it's like two people have never met before and they're hugging for some reason. And it's like, how do I describe it? It's like seeing a work friend in a coffee shop outside of work, and you go, oh fuck, I better say hello, sort of thing. That's how it is. It turns out Matty's granddad, who's now dead, has built this thing called a spiral in the garden. It's like a hut made all out of twigs and stuff. I'll tell you what it isn't, Matty's granddad. It's a fucking mess. That's what it is.
What's that thing in the garden?
Your granddad made it just before he died.
Well, what does it do?
Nothing really. He built it on top of an old drain, so it was nice to have that covered up at least.
He looks happy.
He was. He spent ages making the thing.
Who's that with him?
Where?
The shadow beside him. Was there someone helping him?
No. I don't see anything. Now, come on. You must be hungry.
Matty and his mom are staying at his nan's for the summer, and on his first night there's a storm and it blows a picture off the wall. It reveals a hidden map. The next morning, Matty sees this map and pulls it out, and we see that Matty's bedroom is absolutely covered in like scary folk art, like something out of the fucking Wicker Man or something like that. He finds this map and he shows him like the way to this treasure, and it's all done by using Microsoft Paint, and it's sort of like the map sort of like tells him what to do, and it gives him instructions. So he goes out to investigate the spiral, and he cuts his finger, right, people? And he reaches inside the spiral, he can't get in there, but he reaches inside to try and move this trapdoor and cuts his finger. His finger, everybody. Finger. Now, I'm picking on this because during the night, in what can only be described as a horror scene in a fucking children's film, this shadow sort of moves across the wall, and it takes Matty's cut hand. It takes this, like, cut that's all over his hand, what he didn't do. He cut his finger, he didn't cut his fucking hand. And he just heals the scar up. So then we move on to the next day after this, and the Microsoft map tells Matty where to find this key. It's been a fucking tree all this time, everybody. It's just in a random tree. Follow the map to this fucking tree. I mean, 15 minutes in, there's very little dialogue, and it's fucking terribly acted. It's really bad. It's, you know, it's like if I fucking acted. I am no actor, and it's like if I fucking did it. I'll put a bit more gusto in. Anyway, the shadow man turns up and shows Matty where the key is. I mean, he's fucking braver than me. There's a talking shadow, for fuck's sake. I'd be off. But I think Matty's a fucking idiot anyway, so that's the reason why. It's like, you know, you want to come and see my puppies in my car? Yeah, fucking sure. Talking shadow, fucking no worries. Anyway, so he gets this key, and he can now open the hatch in the spiral. And he opens this hatch, and fuck me, there's only lights down there. I mean, who the fuck is paying for the bill for this? Who put them fucking in there? And who the fuck's funding the bill? Ugh, absolutely not fazed by any of this at all. Matty goes straight down there and meets a shadow man, who says he was friends with his granddad. Matty says he wants to see some treasure, and the shadow man says he needs to look into Matty's soul to see what sort of boy he is. And, I mean, Matty's got no fucking street smarts at all, this kid, nothing. And he would definitely get into a fucking van with puppies and ice cream. You know what I mean? Gone forever. Anyway, it turns out all Matty's got in his head when this shadow man looks in there is the last 24 hours of his life, meeting his nan, seeing his mom, and a shitload of fucking classic cartoons. That's it. This kid is actually fucking, that's it. That's all he's in his head. He finds the shadow crown and he tries it on, but there's no mirrors. You know why there's no mirrors, people? Because witches hide in mirrors. Holy fuck. I'm going to take all mine down in my house now. There's a lot to digest here. Fucking lots. I mean, including, there's like a throwaway line that sort of insinuates that Matty's dad is actually a shadow person and he's now a shadow angel. Don't fucking know. Have no clue at all. I think that's what it is. And then there's a crystal on the wall that's sort of like some sort of primitive CCTV that sort of shows danger. And guess what this danger is, people? It's somebody we haven't seen before. It's a servant of the witch. And it's the huntsman it is, and the shadow man leads this huntsman on a wild goose chase while Matty emerges in the forest with the crown. And then the shadow man leads the servant, leads this woodsman into a trap.
I hear him. There. Stay out of sight, Matthew. I will lead him into a trap. Find all the secrets of the forest if you can catch a shadow.
This trap doesn't fucking work, and the dark servant, this woodsman, sees straight through it and finds Matty in the crown. The shadow man saves Matty by throwing a stone at his head and ominously says, I'll deal with him, while dragging him off into the woods. Matty goes back to the cave with some really out-of-place, jaunty, like, sort of disjointed, sort of almost like music hall orchestral music, you know. The Shadow Man now introduces Massey to another of the shadow kind called Alice, who from this point on does fucking nothing.
This is Alice, your shadow guardian. She has travelled far to see you.
You have a great destiny, Matthew. In the times ahead, you will be tested. And you must be strong.
Listen. I hear something above our heads.
Matthew?
Your mother is calling you. Time for you to return home.
This great quest and adventure, everything that we've learned, fucking crowns, shadow people, white witch, all this gets interrupted because Matty's mom calls him in for his dinner. Off he goes. Matty, not fazed by any of this shit, at all, not at all. If, you know, it's just like it happens to him every single day. Only the guy who plays the Shadow Man, I think, has ever watched a film and understands acting. He's the only one in this film that's got anything about him. So we're 35 minutes in now, people, and it really needs to get moving. There's fuck all happened so far. All we've had is set up an exposition. That's it. They're going for magic and mystery, and all it comes across as is like, oh, we played Dungeons & Dragons once and we liked it, so we're going to do this. That's pretty much what it feels like. There now turns up, for some reason, a fortune teller in a pillbox, and he's the comic relief. He's there with the White Witch, who at this point has done fucking nothing but apart from being moody and really quiet and just in the fucking mountains. Oh, I'm up here in the mountains with my fucking pillbox. For fuck's sake, get moving. So anyway, this bloke in the pillbox could be cut from the whole fucking film because he too has no bearing on the plot whatsoever. He's just there for a bit of comic relief. Didn't even manage to fucking raise a smile out of me. The woodsman now finds the shadow hole, which is like the other side, I think it is. So you've got the spiral of white in like our world, and then the shadow hole is in a different world, and the shadow people are under the world, I think. It's not really fucking well done at all. He goes down and he finds the Shadow Man and Alice, and I really thought we were going to get a dark turn here. I thought, he's going to fucking slit their throats or something. This is a 12. He might just do it off screen or something. But no, he just fucking roofies them. He just blows some strange fucking dust in their face, and then he summons the Queen through a mirror. She turns up in the shadow hole, but they don't take the crown. Why not? Why do they not take the fucking crown? It's there. Anyway, Matty, luckily enough, has had his tea now, and he goes back into the tunnel, into the shadow hole, and he can't wake his friends up because they've been roofied. And then the White Witch turns up and whispers everything.
So you are the one who would steal my crown.
I didn't.
Silence. Let us look at your friends.
Are they dead?
I did not kill them, boy. But they will stay asleep for as long as I want them to. Are you afraid, boy? Perhaps I will spare you. For now. But do not meddle in my world. There are forces at work here which do not concern you. Go back to your home, boy.
The White Witch takes the crown, and again, why the fuck did she wait? Then fucks off with the crown. I mean, then the shadow people wake up and they console Matty. And I mean, let's be honest, he looks so devastated. And I've not put enough sarcasm on that because he doesn't look like he gives a fucking shit at all. He looks like he's just dropped a tip top. That's it. Fuck me. The shadow people decide they haven't convoluted the plot enough. So they tell Matty about a knife that will kill the queen called the Serpent's Tongue. More fucking exposition, more plot points that don't need to be there. There then follows a scene back in Matty's bedroom where he gets changed. Not only should this scene not have been included, it shouldn't have been fucking filmed at all. I don't know, I'd love to see the screenplay for this, because that scene just should have had fucking marker pen right the way through it. For some reason, Matty's mum's asked the teacher to come over and talk to Matty about school.
What age is he now?
9 3/4, he told me last week.
Wow, that's fine. Well, there's plenty of room for him in fourth class.
Do you teach all subjects then, Mr. Gorman?
Yeah. I'm a jack of all trades. But I like history the most. We study all types of eras. My favourite is the Iron Age. Such a radically different society, the old Celtic world. Like, the rules and customs are totally alien to the way we live. I would love to go back in time just to see how they lived, you know? Actually, did you know that when... I'm boring you now, haven't I?
The sound recording in this film is worse than Zombiesaurus. It's fucking horrendous. It's like, several times I tried to find subtitles, but because it's such a cheap film, there's no subtitles, because I couldn't understand a fucking word they were saying. It was so quiet, and so like, everything's, it's a bit over here like this. Everything's a bit over here. You know, like, Matty, do you want to go, could you go down the shadow hole and find that fucking serpent's tongue blade, if you don't mind? But of course it's whispered, so it's, Matty, so yeah, it's all like that. Why the fuck is it recorded like this? Oh, fuck knows. Back to the plot. Matty goes to bed and Alice comes to see him. And she sings him to sleep. For some reason, again, fucking awful sound mixing. It's mixed with music and these whispered voices. And then there's more fucking exposition. Some shit about the Shadow Elders. Fuck knows. It turns out the White Witch can't use the Shadow Crown because she's an evil, miserable bitch, basically. And the pillbox fortune teller, who's the comic relief, says she'll need a life force to break the spell on the crown. She gets pissed off and sends a tremor through the shadow world, and it sort of mildly agitates them. It's kind of like a fucking truck, you know, like a dumper truck driving past your house at 2 o'clock in the morning. That sort of thing. Didn't get it at all. Anyway, I paused the film here so I could go and eat my dinner. And then I came back to the film 3 days later. So, Matty's mom and the teacher smash the hut up for no clear reason. I mean, health and safety, maybe, because he cut his hand. But it's no clear reason. He's just gone out there with a fucking sledgehammer and bossed the thing up. Matty's nan has been just removed from this film. She's in two scenes at the start, then removed. She's off doing something. Her late husband, you know, Matty's mom's father, made this thing. He was proud of it. And it was there in the garden, and the nan obviously hasn't removed it. And the mom's just turned up and gone, that's a fucking mess. Can you do, you know, says this young teacher, can you just fuck it up? Can you just destroy it? He just does. Doesn't question, just brosses it up. So now, we get some shadow spies, right? Inverted commas, shadow spies. They go to the Witch's Hollow up in the mountains where she was captured and she's gone back there. And they spy on her and they catch her fawning over the crown. Matty cries for the smashed up hut and there's more whispered nothing. His mom cheers him up with a plate of peas.
Matthew, it's dinner time.
It's your mother.
Matthew, have you locked this door?
Answer.
What will I say?
Say what I tell you.
Are you there?
Sorry, ma'am.
Sorry, ma'am.
I forgot I locked the door. I'll open it in a second.
What's for dinner, ma'am?
I got fresh peas for you.
Oh, great. I love fresh peas.
Oh, great. But I don't like fresh peas.
Just say it, Matthew.
Oh, great. I love fresh peas.
You're okay about us taking down that spiral thing in the garden, weren't you?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
It was just too dangerous to have you playing around it, that's all. Mr. Gorman's going to help us make a nice flower bed instead.
That would be nice.
That That would be nice, Mum.
No, it wouldn't. You go on ahead, and I'll be down in a second.
You go on ahead, I'll be down in a second.
But don't be long.
Are they taking the fucking piss? The White Witch hatches a plan to lure Matty so she can unleash the power of the crown, and then the whispering is fucking pissing me off. It's every fucking where. Every threat is whispered. Fucking everything. Fucking, oh, I've got a crown and I can't fucking use it. Fuck off. Matty holds his head over the corpse of this hut while the huntsman shows up at the Wild Witch's fucking garrison, wherever the fuck it is, you know, and he's got some dead birds with him. She seduces him and then completely, like, fucking raid and electrifies him and takes his life force. The shadow men return return to Spire and more, and they catch her burying the crown like a fucking dog who's just burying his shit. And it turns out it's a spell, apparently, and she disappears. I don't know what the fuck is going on at this point. Back at Matty's, Alice gives him a twig, which is like a silent magical rape alarm, while downstairs the teacher tries to seduce Matty's mom. Why? Why are you throwing this in as well? Why the fuck are you throwing this plot line into this film? Oh, fuck me. The Shadow King now turns up, and he's got a different aura. The shadows are actually shadows, and this fucker's like a big bright white light. He gives Alice the serpent knife. You know, he's had a word with the Shadow Council, and they've got the serpent knife, and she gives it to Matty. So let's be clear on this. Matty, who has suddenly discovered that there's an underworld with shadow people, and they've got all this fucking committee and all this, they've decided that the best way of course of action and the survival of their people is to give this underworld ghost thing, is to give this fucking 10-year-old a knife and ask him to murder a whispering anemic witch. Matty goes to sleep and the White Witch turns up in his mirror, because, you know, witches live in mirrors. She scares him awake and makes him spill milk. He uses his magical fucking rape alarm on, and the witch pins him to the bed with a spell. I think that's sort of what happens. He's so badly acted, I think that's what he's doing. The shadow people turn up and the White Witch completely Manchurian candidates them. You know, she sort of like whispers, you know, like fucking fence, gatepost, keyboard. I'm just looking at things around my fucking bedroom. Amplifier. And they just completely freeze. And it's like, okay. And she sort of pitches them against each other. And in the middle of all this, the serpent knife gets dropped in the process. Matty somehow breaks free of his spell. And she thinks it's one of the shadow men, it's another shadow man, and she trips and falls onto the knife, which is conveniently landed at a 90-degree angle. So she dies, and the shadow people fuck off.
At last, the witch was dead, and her body melted away into the vapors of the air. That night, the shadows left by the magic path. They promised to return again and take Matthew on a journey to meet his grandfather and discover his future destiny. Until then, he promised he would try to be happy in the world of men.
We're now into the home stretch here, people. The teacher is boinking Matty's mom, apparently, to a really bad folk song. They're not fucking. What they are actually doing is just holding hands, but it's implied. And unfortunately, we wrap up the entire film with the threat of further adventures. The end. Right, so the sum up and reaction of this, fuck me. As in Zombiesaurus, I just wanted one thing. You know, that's it. Nothing else, just one thing I could say. This is what I thought this film was okay. The closest thing I've got in this is the Shadow Man. And he's, because at least he's trying. But he's not enough. And, you know, at least with Zombiesaurus, I admired their gumption. I've got nothing for this, nothing. I mean, for a film about magic, witches, other worlds, prophecy. Fuck me, is it dull. If this happened to me as a kid, I would totally just wait for my ZX Spectrum to load and just, you know, not piss about with these weirdos at all. The acting is so bad. It's so bad. It's not even amateur dramatical bad. Dramatical? I don't even think that's a word. It's not even amateur drama bad. It's just bad. You know, the script is full. It's really overfull. And it's pointless. There are so many threads that do nothing. They're just leading to a cul-de-sac of sadness. That's it. They rely far too much on this CGI. And it made the world feel flat and formless. There's nothing there. You know, I know it's a micro-budget film. I mean, 100,000 euros. Definitely. There is no doubt in my mind that Colin Downey got new windows for his house and bought himself a new car with that 100,000 euros. Because it didn't go into this film. I don't know where the fucking all that money went. It must have gone on cameras and stuff and lighting. He must have bought it all instead of hiring it. Like fucking Tommy Wiseau. I don't understand it. I know this is a micro-budget film, like I said, but do some guerrilla filmmaking. Give us a sense of this world. You know, we've all got... Where we live in the UK, and I'm sure we've got some... I mean, anywhere else, you know, America, Canada, Ireland, Wales, everywhere... We are never far from like a national park or a country park or something like that. Go and do some guerrilla filmmaking. Take your shit and fuck off over to the park and do some guerrilla filmmaking. You know, don't ask for permission. Just go and do it. And it's there. You know, use some of the backgrounds. Use some, you know, and it's there. But, I mean, you look at the logic of this world. None of it makes sense at all. The shadow people are fucking all kinds of powerful. But they're also kitten weak. They're useless. I don't understand, you know, the Queen's motivation for any of the shit she does in the film. She has no end game at all. It's to rule the shadow people or to rule all of everything. But she's fucking useless. She could even rule a fucking a hunter. You know, it's pointless. There's no army or fuck all. This could have easily been a 40-minute short film with all the padding and family plot and shit taken out of it. There's no need for any of it. And then we get onto the fucking whispering. The fucking whispering. Oh, the fucking whispering. It's not even fucking fun. Why is everything whispered? Why am I sat there straining my fucking ears trying to listen to this fucking film? It's bollocks. That's what that is. It's all bollocks. I don't know why they've done it. I don't know. You know, you can't record the film when it's normal sound, when it's just somebody talking. And now you're trying to try. Yeah, for a film that's about magic, it completely lacks any. I mean, let's be honest, you watch Lord of the Rings. I watched Lord of the Rings and I just thought, Rivendell, what a fucking cool place that is. I really want, you know, it's tangible. It's there. It's tactile. You want to go. You're like, I want to have a fucking smoke and watch that waterfall. You know, you watch the Chronicles of Narnia. Aslan's house. How fucking cool is Aslan's house? Just full of power and magic. And all these talking creatures is incredible. I wanted to take a fucking bulldozer to the shadow world and do them all a fucking favour. Anyway, the verdict.
Gentlemen of the jury, you've reached the verdict.
Considering all the facts and arguments presented by both counsel, and after careful deliberation,
the jury will retire and consider the evidence.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, have you reached a verdict?
Better be judged!
Oh, it's a full pound all day. This is a fucking... that surprised you, didn't it? No, fuck me. It's 10 pence and I'm being generous. Because you could reuse the DVD case. And you could use the DVD as a coaster. And that's it. 10 pence out of a pound. We're done on that. Thank you very much for coming along for episode 29. Sorry it's been a bit shouty. Sorry it's been a bit sweary. Sorry I'm a bit late. I had some dental surgery. If you're listening to this in 2023, you won't care because there'll be more episodes out. But if you are listening, thank you very much for coming back. And that's the reason why I'm late. Also, I didn't really want to talk about this fucking film. But, you know, it's done. And I did all the research and stuff. So it is what it is. Thanks anyway. Thanks a lot for coming along for episode 29. I've been Wayne. And this has been the £1 Movie Podcast. Come again soon. Bye-bye.